Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. Let's go ahead and read 6 verses. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight or too narrow, constricted for us. There's not enough room. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim." And I guess I forgot the 7th verse. "Therefore he said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word. I am so glad that we have the word of God. There are some countries that nobody has a Bible. There are some countries I've heard, Lord, that somebody gets a Bible and then they take it apart. They rip it up. And a few pages, one guy will get, and a few other pages, the other guy will get, and they'll read it for a week, and they'll come back to church and they'll swap, because there's only one Bible in the entire church. Lord, I'm thankful that we have your word and a pulpit to preach it behind. Use your word, I pray today, to touch our hearts and show us the Lord in perhaps a greater way. Encourage us in the things of God and in the faith and in the Great Commission. And Lord, we're thankful to give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Preaching for a few minutes on the subject, the iron did swim. As you know, I've bored you to tears telling you this. Love to look at the Old Testament and find the symbols, find the shadows, the types, the things in the text that show us Jesus Christ. It's probably my preferred mode of teaching, and that's what we're going to do today. And I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to read a bit of Scripture, quite a bit more than I normally read, to give you an understanding just exactly how you can take a passage and find Jesus Christ. Again, reading the Old Testament, but I think every other page at least shows you Jesus Christ. But this verse 1 and 2, "The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell is too strait or constricted for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take every man thence a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye." Now let me say that this happened. This is the historical record. Elisha was a real man. The sons of the prophets were real men. This is a real event. This happened. There's no question that this is history we're reading. But we find God in the history. Perhaps in the names of the people involved. Perhaps on the particular day that some event happened. Maybe some miracle, in this case, miraculous. They had an axe head that fell off into the water, and the prophet made it swim, it says. This is wonderful. I could stop here and say that, amen, look at what God did. But as we study the Word of God, we understand and we get adept at seeing the types, seeing the shadows, seeing the symbols. Again, this is a real event, but it is also symbolic. And I hope that you grasp that. I'm not redefining anything. This is not postmodernism. I'm not making the text say anything that I want it to say. I'm sitting here reading it, and when I saw a certain part we'll get to in a second, I just about fell off my chair. I couldn't believe what I saw. But again, it's the same old message. It's the same old message, the same gospel that you'll find in the Gospels or the Epistles, etc. It's the same message, the same very simple message, told over and over and over and over and over again throughout the Old and New Testaments. It's said that if you read the Gospels, you see what Jesus did, and that's correct. But if you read the Psalms, for instance, you see what Jesus was thinking and feeling through the life of David. We see the life of David and the things he suffered, and we understand that the things that happened to him and the thoughts and reactions and what have you, the meditations of his heart, they foreshadowed and prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says the prophets were saying, hey, you know, this is a town, it's a nice little town, but it's getting a little crowded in here. It's too straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. And you would say that's a King James spelling of straight, the way we normally do it in English. When we say something straight in English, in modern English, we think that there's no bends or crooks or anything, it's just a straight shot. But this word doesn't mean direction straight. It means constricted. And the word is used here and there throughout the Gospels and what have you. We just don't have enough room. I mean, we'd like to do something here, but it's kind of crowded. In other words, we want to go down the road to that other place and see what we can do. Now, in all of these, and I'm going to explain it once and you'll catch on, and in everything that I bring out, I'm going to read Scripture from mostly the New Testament to show you how this relates to the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Well, okay, I guess it stops there. We understand through reading the book of Acts that according to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, they started in Jerusalem. Then they began to venture out a little bit into Judea. Then later on into Samaria, and then finally into the uttermost parts of the earth. They liked it where they were. They wanted to stay. They wanted to build, you know, a bunch of tabernacles and stay, Lord. But God said, no, you need to go out from Jerusalem. Salvation's to the Jew first, we understand, but it's also to the Gentiles. And they were like, well, that's winsome Jews. No, you gotta go out. You gotta venture out. They went to Samaria and won a few Gentiles, and that's good. But there was persecution which drove some out. There was obviously AD 70, which kind of drove everyone out, I suppose. But God's plan is not to stay here in church. In our little church, our little town, our little denomination, we need to go out and win souls. We need to understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and to not boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. That's the Great Commission. We need to go and preach the gospel in the regions beyond us. You know that I do a bit of work in a number of countries, Haiti mostly, trying to win souls. We support missionaries. There's a letter, if it's still there. The president of, I think, Nigeria had some kind of testimony. His name's Goodluck Jonathan, if I remember right. That nation, Nigeria, at least, I don't know if he's still president, the man was a Christian and did his best to further the kingdom of God. But then the text says, Take every man a beam. Everybody get a piece of lumber and let's go. Every man get a beam. And this is where I fell out of my chair. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever let him come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. They had a 2x4 or 4x8 or whatever on their shoulder, and they were dragging that thing to wherever in the world they were going to go and build and try to start a new work. They took up their crosses and followed the Lord. You understand that symbol? We have to follow our cross. Not just the Lord. He did it 2,000 years ago, and that's good. We need to follow ours. But in pictorial form, we see these disciples, the sons of the prophets, we see them carrying their own cross. And he said, getting back to the text, it says, let us make a place there where we may dwell. And the prophet answered, go ye. We understand in Mark 16, verse 15, for example, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our command, to go ye. We have a great commission. It's a co-mission. Jesus came on his mission and did his work and said it's finished. He sacrificed his life for the sins of the world. Now it's our part of the great co-mission. We work with God, telling others about what God did for us and telling them about what Jesus did for the whole world. In verse 3, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So we understand that we need to go, but this guy says, hey, you know, why don't you come with us? Go with us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We need God's power when we're going to go. We have to have God's power. I will go with you, he said. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And look at this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And again, I'm just sitting here reading a chapter in the Old Testament, and these things are just jumping off the page at me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Again, he's going to go with us. And it's interesting. I'm looking at this verse right here. And be content with such things as ye have. And then he says, I'll never leave you. But look at the text. And one said, be content, I pray thee. Imagine that. I think when Paul wrote this, or whoever wrote Hebrews, he was probably looking at that verse and said, hey, be content. How do you like that? You know, that's one of the proofs of Scripture. You want to know if a certain book in the Old Testament is truly in the Bible. If Jesus Christ quoted it, then you know that that book in the Old Testament is part of the canon. Verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They said, let's go to Jordan, let's take our beam, etc. But, and they had their beam, and I don't quite understand all of this, but maybe they had a starter pack or something. They had their beam, and they were carrying their cross. But when they got there to their destination at Jordan, they cut down wood. Well, what does that mean? To me, I believe this says that we ought to be about the work of preaching the gospel. If I'm going to go to Metairie, I already live there, I understand that, but let me build a church if I can. I could tell you of the two little towns in Haiti, in the middle of absolutely nowhere, on the top of a mountain, one on one side the crest, and the other on the other side the crest, Montagnac and La Gombrie, places you've never heard of, trust me. There is no running water. There is no electricity. There will never be any electricity, ever. Not if we last another 1,000 years. They're just not going to get it. You want running water, you have to pay the little kid on the donkey, hey, run down there and get some for me. And that's the truth. But what do we do there? We're trying to build a church. We're trying to build a school. On the other side of the hill, at the other little place, La Gombrie, we generally end up in Montagnac, and then we trek. We have to walk to La Gombrie. We're trying to build a church over there on that side. That's it. When we get there, we have to cut down wood. We have to preach the gospel. We have to bring the cross there, in other words, and preach the gospel. In verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Well, what are we going to do now? We need that axe, etc. But this is incredible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. An axe is a type of sword, a specialized sword meant for cutting down trees. But it says that the sword is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, another verse saying that the word of God is like a sword, like a scalpel, like a knife. Then there's the axe that fell into the water. Colossians 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein you also risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That axe, the word of God, again a symbol, falls into the water. We know that baptism is a symbol. When we're covered with water, we're identifying with Christ who was covered in earth, put in the tomb. So this axe falling in the water, and they're saying, oh, what are we going to do? But this is the plan of God. And of course, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples said, oh, it's lost, he's dead. Well, it was the plan of God. The axe symbolizes Christ. Christ was crucified and put into the tomb, buried in a tomb. Alas, master, they said. Alas, master. John chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. I then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet. Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. John chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus is the word of God, symbolized by the axe. And the cry was, Master, just as we see the disciples in Mary. For it was borrowed. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 through 60. And when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Jesus was laid in a borrowed tomb. He didn't pay for it. He didn't go to the funeral home and make arrangements beforehand like some people do now, which is probably wise, I suppose. He didn't have any burial insurance. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. And this axe fell into the water and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." I'm sorry, this makes me happy, and it puts tears in my eyes to see the gospel in this little 7 verses here. Verse 6 and 7. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" Or, "Where did it fall in?" And he showed the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Where fell it? And he showed the place. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. "For as I passed by, and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you." It's our job to bring people back to Calvary. Happened 2,000 years ago, and we're here up in the woods in Louisiana. But it's our job to preach the gospel here in Denham Springs. Maybe a town people pass by on the interstate, but God loves this place. And it's our job as Christians to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said the angels when Jesus rose up to heaven, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We need to do what I just said and continue to preach this Jesus, this gospel, this message. Everybody that's got enough money to get on the television, I guess, has got a different message, but I want to preach this one. The one that was first delivered to the saints. But he said, "Cut down a stick and cast it in." And we've seen this before. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 23 to 25, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them." Bitter waters. The answer to the bitter waters was cut down a tree and throw it in the pond or lake or whatever it was, and God, by a miracle, made the waters not bitter. I don't know if it had some kind of chemical or mineral in it or something, but they were not able to drink it. It was bitter. But when they cast in, again, in symbol, the cross of Calvary, the waters were made sweet. If you have a problem in your life, kids on drugs, you're on drugs, who knows what, they're coming to take your stuff away, whatever your problem is, throw Jesus into your problem. Throw that cross, again, in symbol. In other words, look to Jesus. Turn to him. Bring all your needs to the altar. God is your answer. God is your supply. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." In other words, look to him. And so often we fail to do that. We look everywhere, call upon everything and everyone except the Lord, and that's not the way to do it. The same type of miracle we also find in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, 'Behold, we pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth to the spring of waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be any more from thence any death or barren land.' So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake." Again, if your life is bitter, if your life is barren, Things just ain't going right. You need to come to Jesus. He's your answer. Instead of a tree, this time he cast salt into the waters, and they were healed. Well, Jesus died on the cross. We understand that, but he also said, we're the salt of the earth. We need to go out into the highways and byways and to compel them to come in. We need to preach the gospel again, to do our part for the Great Commission. But it says in the text that after he threw in the stick, the iron did swim. And again, we said just a bit ago that the iron is a symbol of Jesus Christ. And it going into the water was a symbol of being buried. But it says this miracle that God did. The iron did swim. Matthew chapter 28 verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this last verse, therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.